portion of scripture that I just read from the King James. King James says, "Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place." That's 2 Corinthians 2:14 in the King James. But in the Message Bible, it says, "In the Messiah, in Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade." Through us, he brings knowledge of Christ. Everywhere we go, people breathe in the exquisite fragrance. Because of Christ, we give off a sweet scent rising to God, which is recognized by those on the way of salvation. Oh, an aroma redolent with life. Oh, that's powerful. In the Messiah, in Christ, God leads us from place to place in one perpetual victory parade. Oh, I love that. Let me take you to another portion of scripture as we're laying a foundation for this word today. Romans 8:36 through 39. "As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." Oh, that's not too exciting right there. "Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm going to say some things today. There's some things that people, when they're helping us along in life and mentoring us and teaching us and guiding us, many times there are things that our mentors are privy to that we don't know. And the thing about that is, many times that's a burr under the saddle. That's a bee in the bonnet, the fact that somebody knows something that they don't tell me. But the truth is, as much as I don't like that, and I know it's true, even more so, as I grow, I mature spiritually, I understand more and more why, at times, those who are mentoring us and instructing us in life don't always tell us everything they know. Any knowledge that God withholds from us is for our protection. God knows that in many cases, knowledge can be destructive. That's why many times God holds knowledge from us until we are spiritually mature enough to use it properly. A 5-year-old child may be fully capable of pulling the trigger on an AR-15, but that certainly doesn't mean that 5-year-olds should be carrying or trusted with rifles with that kind of firepower, or any firearms for that matter. But why am I saying this? I'm saying this because I'm going to share something with you today that's very powerful. And yet, as I share it, I'm conscious of the fact that it is a sort of double-edged sword. And you may ask, why so? And I'm going to tell you why. Because the knowledge that I'm going to release to you today can put you spiritually into a new category of faith and of power and of authority. How many want that? How many want to go higher? How many want a new level of power and authority? But here's the other side. Here's the second side and edge to that. On the other side, if it's not processed correctly, it can make you lazy, it can make you overconfident, and it can make you prideful. So look at your neighbor and say, watch out. So before we go any further, I want you to raise your hands and I want you to ask God to help us to receive this word truthfully and humbly and process it correctly. Come on, lift your hands. Lord, we want to receive your word today truthfully and humbly, Lord, and we want to process it correctly. We thank you for your word today, God. We worship you. So my concern today is, as this word comes to your spirit, that it doesn't give you the big head, that it doesn't make you feel overconfident and self-reliant, but that instead it wakes up the warrior in you and puts a fight back in your spirit. Now, the reason I'm saying this today is because, why would I say put a fight back in your spirit? I'm going to say, the reason I'm saying is because we're living in times unlike anything we've ever experienced before. We are in a continual battle. It's going on in the spirit constantly. And the great dangers we face, one of the great dangers we face, is becoming battle weary. And I know we are people of faith and we never want to have a negative confession, but we can't lie about the true state of things. And the fact is, our world is in a mess. And our country is in a mess. Our government is in a mess. And the truth is, every single day that you wake up, it's a battle against the forces of spiritual darkness in the earth. Now, we've seen darkness. We've seen deception. We've seen it win battle after battle. And the reality is, when we don't see any visible manifestation of things changing, we can become battle-weary saints. And we can begin to fizzle out. And we can let our hands down. And we can hang our harps on the willow trees. And we can start singing the blues. And we can start singing, well, nobody knows the trouble I've seen. And we can become very discouraged. So when I look at the body of Christ, I see how tired and battle-weary so many are. I know they need this word. I have to release this word. I can't just sit back and watch what the devil is doing to so many people. I have to tell you something. The devil doesn't want you to know this, but it is indisputably true that the fight is already fixed. So look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, I've got good news for you. The fight is fixed. Whoa, think about that. The fight is fixed. What kind of boldness, what kind of confidence would it give you to know that you are guaranteed to win, that you cannot lose, that no matter how powerful or how strong your opponent might be, no matter what tricks they pull, no matter what their advantages over you seem to be, you are declared the winner and you haven't even thrown the first punch. Look at your neighbor and say, that's good news. See, as unbelievable as that sounds, it is the truth. It's the Bible. I know it doesn't make sense, but from a God perspective, victory is not, as we perceive it, determined by the outcome, but victory is estimated by the income. In other words, the Bible declares this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. And the Bible says, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The Bible tells us that we are more than conquerors through him who loved us and gave himself for us. But here's where I have to caution you to understand. You cannot take this knowledge for granted. The fact that is, even though the fight is fixed, it is only fixed for those who actually engage in the battle. Everybody can't claim this word. You have to be a warrior. You have to be one who's willing to jump in the ring. You have to be one who's willing to fight. Put on the whole armor of God. See, we're expected to step into the ring. We're required, just as David's victory required his slingshot, his skill, and his effort, God requires us to give our best. But if we will do our part, if we will agree with God, if we'll follow his instructions, then you can know that you have won the fight before you ever step into the ring. Woo, hallelujah. Say it again, the fight is fixed. So I don't know. who I'm talking to today. I don't know the battle that you may be facing right now. I don't know what enemy might be raised up against you today. I don't know what the devil's trying to do in your life. I don't know what mountain is standing in your way. But I come to tell you, child of God, I come to tell you the answer is the same. It is faith in God. R.W. Shambach used to say all the time, you don't have any problem. All you need is faith in God. What am I saying? Let me say this. As I was growing up, and I've been in church all my life, but as I was growing up and I began to get a little older and people began to greet me as a gentleman, man to man, sometimes they would say to me, hey brother, how you doing? You got the victory? And I was like, what does that mean? That I got the victory. Now, I think what they meant was, are all your bills paid? Are you and your wife getting along? Are your dogs and cats being good? Is your family all getting together? Are they getting along? Is everything? That's what I'm thinking they mean. And I'm thinking, I don't know. Do I have to weigh that and think about all those questions before that I answer that question to have the victory? Well, I didn't have a good hair day. Well, my car broke down. The washers went out. I'm working on this. I'm working on that. And no, I'm not getting along too good with one of my relatives. So I don't know. Do I have the victory? See, here's the problem. That is an estimation of what's going on outside to tell me and determine whether or not I've got victory. But victory is not external. Victory is internal. See, men in the world, they determine victory by what's going on around them or not going on around them. In other words, they determine victory by the absence of external conflict. But God determines victory by what's going on inside of us. Because that's why he said this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. So victory is, it starts with an attitude. Everybody says, you got to have an attitude. Now look at somebody else and say, I know you already got an attitude. Attitude, from a dictionary, it means a position assumed for a specific purpose. Now, I never would have thought that's what attitude meant. It means a position assumed for a specific purpose, a mental position with regard to a fact or a state. When we get God's word in our hearts, it produces an attitude, a position assumed for a specific purpose, and a mental position with a regard to a fate or fact or state. That's what God's word does when it gets in you. It produces an attitude. It produces an attitude of faith. Here's some of that word. See if this don't help to create an attitude in you. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Sometimes what we need is an attitude adjustment. Woo! Glory to God. Say, you really need that. I remember when I was growing up, sometimes I needed an attitude adjustment. Sometimes my dad would say, you're getting too big for your britches, and he knew how to shrink me down. He gave me an attitude adjustment. Victory is a discipline. It's an attitude, first of all, but it's a discipline also, because it takes a disciplined person to manifest victory. Since our victory is faith and faith is born of the Word, we have to discipline ourselves to believe the Word, regardless of what the circumstances say. Like the woman with the little pot of oil, she went in and shut the door. You got to shut the door. You have to shut the door on all of the unbelief and all the doubt and all the fear and all the anxiety and everything that contradicts God's word. You got to shut yourself into faith and shut out everything else. Shut out the doubt, the confusion, the feelings, the emotions, the pain, and sometimes even friends and family. Victory demands determination. Victory is not a one-time experience. It's a way of life. A spirit life that's born inside of us. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. It's a spirit of perseverance. Victory is the determination that stands at the door and continues to knock even though the answer is no. Victory is the spirit that hears the criticism but keeps on pressing. Victory is not a life without problems. Victory is a life that faces problems with a promise. I've got God's word on it. I love this story in the Bible. I think his spirit is indomitable. He was unconquerable. He was what you call committed to the word. It's 2 Samuel 23 and 9. It says, after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ahohite, one of the three mighty men of David. When they defied the Philistines that were gathered together in battle, the men of Israel were gone away. And he arose. This one man, all of Israel forsook him. And he, one man, arose. And the Bible said he smote the Philistines until his hand was weary. Until his hand was worn out. But here's what I love. And it said, and his hand clave unto the sword. And the Lord wrought a great victory that day. And the people returned after him only to spoil. So here is a man who became one with his sword. His hand clave unto his sword. That means, it means basically, his hand became welded to his sword. In other words, he held on to the promise until the problem was defeated. And that's the secret, my friend, to your victory today, to mine, is that we get a hold of the promise and we get a bulldog grip on it and we don't let go of it no matter what comes, no matter what goes, no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like. I got a God said, and God said trumps everything else. The old saying is there's strength in numbers, but really that's only true to a certain extent if the numbers are in faith and the numbers are anointed and if the numbers believe the promise. In actual fact, if people aren't in faith, numbers get in the way. Jesus wouldn't let anybody go in to Jairus' daughter except Peter, James, and John. Put everybody else out. Jonathan said it may be the Lord will work for us, but for there's no restraint to the Lord to save by many or by few. Now, I've got to say this about victory. Victory is not never going through a trial. Victory is going through a trial. I don't estimate victory in my life or yours by the absence of problems. I don't estimate victory by the fact that I'm on the other side of something. Victory is not in never going through. Victory is in going through. So this is how victory goes through a trial. Victory goes through a trial knowing that the trial is working for you. Now this is 2 Corinthians 4, 17 through 18. Listen to this. I mean, the word of God is so awesome. He says, this light affliction, which is but for a moment. That means anything you're going through in this life, in the light of eternity, and compared to what Jesus went through, it's light. This light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us. Look at your neighbor and say, I don't know what you're going through, but on the authority of God's word, it's working for you. Hallelujah. The devil don't want you to know that. He don't want you to know that your problems, your trials, your circumstances are working for you. But that's what the Bible says. It's working for you a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. But here's something you got to do. While we look not at the things which are seen, so we have to turn our eyes away from all the things that we see, we hear, we feel, and we sense in the natural, and we look rather at the things which are eternal. Hallelujah. So we got to close our eyes to the natural and open our eyes to the spiritual and open our eyes to the things that are eternal. But the things that are eternal are invisible to the natural eye. I can't see peace, but I can see it manifested. I can't see joy, but I can see it manifested. I can't see healing, but I can see it manifested. I can't see deliverance, but I can see when it manifests. All of these things are in the realm of faith. They're in the realm of the Spirit. That's where we got to look. That's where we got to turn our attention. And while we look not at the things which are seen, like Peter did, at the storm, at the waves, at the wind, at the crashing of the waves, all of this, we look not at those things, but we look at the eternal. What is the eternal? The Word of God is eternal. The Word of God is eternal. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. So these things are working for us, but here's the secret ingredient. As long and for the time that we're not looking at the things which are seen. And boy, that's a big fight right there. That's the biggest part of our battle. Is getting our eyes off of what we see, what we hear, what we feel, what we can touch, and what touches us. But I'm going to tell you something about faith. Faith is a supernatural substance. Faith is a supernatural force. You can go to a university and you can spend thousands and thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars and not get faith. Because you can't buy it. You can't earn it. But if you look the right direction, it will come to you. Because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I want to tell you, faith is such a powerful force that Jesus said, if you have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, mountain, get up and be removed and cast into the sea, and it'll have to go. That's what Jesus said. Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, who are the called according to His purpose. So I just stopped by to tell somebody, I don't care what you're facing today, faith has fixed the fight, and faith has never lost a battle. From Genesis to Revelation, faith always wins. I know that's hard to believe, because sometimes things don't turn out the way we want them to. But faith wins every time. I don't care what the devil does, what he throws at me, I'm going through. David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Because you're with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. We're getting through this, whatever it is. We're getting through it. It may look bad, but the fight is fixed. And at a certain point, that devil is going down because he has to. My faith tells me he is going down. Luke 10:19 says, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. These signs, he said, will follow them to believe. In my name, they'll cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues. They'll take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and you have overcome them. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. This is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. See, the fact is, as long as the child of God stays in the arena of faith, they are living in victory. Now, now tell your neighbor, say, it's just a matter of time.
It's just a matter of time.
Just a matter of time. I love this song Dottie Rambo wrote. Very powerful. It says, I've weathered storms before. She said, I've weathered storms before. So no matter what you've been through in the past, we're going to make it. God is on your side. God is for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? It's not our first fight, I know. It's not the first storm. It's not the first trial. And it may look bad, but bless God, we're going to make it. We're getting through it because we're walking by faith and not by sight. You're not going to lose as long as you stay in the arena of faith. So take unto you the whole armor of God. Strap on your shield of faith. Jump into the ring. The victory is yours in Jesus' name because the fight is fixed. Hallelujah. So here's where we have to start. We have to start from the place where most people finish. Most people consider the manifestation of healing, the blessing, the peace, the joy, the prosperity to be the end, right? But the reality of faith is that every one of those blessings are not something waiting to be received, but they are faith's realities that are already ours. This is what the devil don't want you to know. This is where God has been trying to get us. We have been trying to get things from God, but God has been trying to get faith into us. Why? Because faith is the doorway to possessing everything that is already ours. We struggle to try to get what already belongs to us. Many times we're praying and we're seeking God and we're asking for God for things that are already ours. It's already ours by inheritance. When we receive Christ, it's already ours. Hallelujah. The blessings of God that came to Abraham have become your blessings, the Bible says. The Bible says, cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree, that the blessings of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That means everything God told Abraham, this is yours. I'm going to do this for you. I'm going to do that for you. I'm going to make you the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, the litter and not the barrel. I bless you going in. I bless you coming out. I'll bless your seed. I'll bless your basket. I'll bless your fruit. I'll bless your storehouse. Whatever you put your hand to, I'll bless you. Your enemies will come at you one way, but they'll flee from you seven ways. God said that to Abraham. But I'm Abraham's seed. I'm an heir according to the promise. So I say, me too. Me too. All the promises of God are in Him, in Jesus, unto the glory of God by us. So here it is. If you've been waiting to shout, here's what you've been waiting for. Christ is in us. This means Christ in us, the hope of glory, every blessing in Him, every benefit of the faith life is in Jesus, and Jesus is in us. Yes. Yes. Woo! We didn't know it, but that's what we meant when we said, come into my heart. Come into my heart. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. Come in today. Come in to stay. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. We didn't know it when we were singing that, but we were inviting Him in with all of His blessing, all the richness of His inheritance, all the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, as in Christ, the mystery that has been hid from ages, but is now revealed to us by His Spirit. And the mystery is this: Christ in you, the hope of glory. Everything we've been hoping for, everything we've been believing for, everything we've been dreaming about, it's in Christ, and Christ is in you.
Yes. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
For I have said the promises unto you and unto your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. For I have called you unto my kingdom, and I have called you for such a time as this, says the Lord. And all that I have and all that has been hidden in Christ is now being revealed to my people and being revealed to my children for their benefit and for their blessing, says the Lord, that I will be glorified, that I will be glorified as it is seen, as it is evidenced that this is not of your power or your strength or your wisdom or your ability, but this is of God. And the glory will go to me, says the Lord, and the privilege is yours.
Oh, yeah. Glory.
Glory. This is what the devil don't want us to know. You're already healed. You're already blessed. You're already prospered. You already have peace. You already have joy. You're already anointed. You've already been called. You've already been justified. You've already been glorified. Romans 8:30, whom he did predestinate, he also called. Whom he called, them he justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. We're waiting. We get to heaven. We say, well, I'm waiting for that glorified body. I know what we're talking about. We're talking about that glorified body. I understand that. But we're glorified in Christ right now. Whom he called, he justified. That's past tense. Any way you want to say it. That's past tense. Whom he called, them he justified. Whom he justified, them he also glorified. We are glorified in Christ. And we glorify him by receiving everything that he paid for. Unto the glory of God by us through Christ Jesus. Most of the time, let me say it again. We're asking God for things that are already ours. Let me give you another scripture. 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power hath given unto us. What does it say there? A few things that we need every once in a while. That's not what it says. He says, according as his divine power hath, past tense, given, past tense, unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What does that mean? Healing pertains to life. Joy pertains to life. Peace pertains to life. Health pertains to life. He said, I've given you all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to me. That's what it means. That's what joint heir is. That means what you're heir to, I'm heir to too. We're joint heirs. Not 50-50. We're joint heirs. Whatever you own, I'm a shareholder. The devil don't want us to know this stuff. Do you know what that means? What that means is so much of what we ask for and pray for and we're trying to get, it's already ours. So how does that play out into my life on a daily basis? How does that translate into my daily basis? Here's how it translates. Instead of me praying, oh God, I need to be healed. I need your healing. Lord, I ask you to heal me. Lord, take this sickness away. Instead of that, I step into my inheritance and I say, Father, thank you on the authority of your word. By your stripes, I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed. I thank you for healing me, and I thank you for manifesting that healing in my body. I thank you, Lord, that peace is mine. Joy is mine. I thank you, Lord, that victory is mine. I thank you, Lord, that strength is mine. Can I just tell you that when I'm asking for strength, what I'm asking for is for Jesus to be manifested, because he is the strength of my life. When I ask for peace, I'm asking for Jesus to be manifested, because he is the Prince of Peace. When I ask for health, I'm asking for him to be manifested, for he is the health of my countenance and the strength of my life. It's all in him. And he's in you.
Glory to God.
Look at your neighbor and tell him, say, you're loaded. Did you know that? I mean, you're loaded. The devil doesn't want us to know these things. See, when people don't understand this principle, they don't understand this, and they hear you confessing a promise of God as being yours already, then they don't understand how this works. And so they don't realize that everything that we're believing for and we're confessing is already ours in Christ. It was completed. That's why Jesus said, it is finished. Nothing to add to it. It's finished. Everything that you ever need pertaining to life and godliness, it's in him. But when they don't understand that, they think you're a hypocrite. Because you say, thank God I'm healed. And they hear you going, and you say, Lord, by your stripes I'm healed. I praise the Lord, I'm healed. And they say, they hear you doing that, and they say, it says, you sound like a hypocrite. No. My healing might not be manifested yet. But it was paid for 2,000 years ago. My peace might not be manifested today, but I'm going to tap into it. Do I ever get up and have my day be disturbed and troubled?
Sure.
Yeah. So what I do, I say, Lord, I thank you for the peace of God that passes all understanding being manifested in my life right now. So what we do is we begin to tap into the resources of heaven. We begin to tap into the faith arena of what's already been done. Everybody say, already done. Would you stand? I'm going to close. This is why we say that the fight is already fixed, because Colossians 2:15 says, having spoiled principalities and powers, having spoiled, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. From God's perspective, the devil's already been beat down. He's been stripped of his power. He's been stripped of his authority. He's been stripped of his position. He is a defeated foe. From a God perspective, it is a finished work. When Jesus says it is finished, he meant exactly that. It's finished. He spoiled principalities and powers. So the fight is fixed. But you've got to get in the arena of faith. The moment you slip out of the arena of faith, you get back into the natural. And you get back into the hoping and worshiping, wonderful, worrying and working toward trying to make something happen. But when you get in the arena of faith, you operate from already done. So here's the truth. Many of God's people need to move out of the land of one of these days. Over into the land of it's already done. I'm changing my address. From one of these days, I'm going to get well. One of these days, I'm going to get healed. One of these days, I'm going to get peace. One of these days, I'm going to get blessed. One of these days, I'm going to get prospered. One of these days, I'm moving out of the land of one of these days. I'm changing addresses. I'm moving over into the land of it's already done. He has given me all things that pertain to life and godliness. The Bible says that Jesus Christ has made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So you know what that means? Whenever I face a situation where I need wisdom, I say, Lord, I thank you for the wisdom of God being manifested in my understanding right now. Because Jesus has made unto me wisdom. I don't go, oh, Lord, I need wisdom. Lord, give me wisdom. Give me wisdom. I already got it. It's in here. I need it to be manifested. I already got it. Jesus is wisdom. He is my redemption. He is my sanctification. When I need peace, I say, Lord, I thank you that the peace of God is manifesting in my life right now. I thank you that the joy of the Lord is manifesting in my life right now. I thank you, Lord. I start claiming and taking what belongs to me by faith. And when I walk in the arena of faith, I win. When I get out of the arena of faith, I lose. But if I stay in the arena of faith, the fight is already fixed. And you're going to win every time. Hallelujah. Come on, lift your hands all over this house. Devil, I know you didn't want us to know, but we know. I know you didn't want us to know. You wanted to keep us ignorant of what was ours. You wanted to keep us ignorant of our inheritance. You wanted to keep us reaching and stretching and clawing and crying and trying to get something that was already ours. But you are a liar. And you are a defeated foe. And you are under our feet. And we have found out the truth. We are heirs of God and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And everything that belongs to Jesus belongs to us. And he is in us. And we are in him. Hallelujah. Come on, just praise him all over this house. Praise him for faith's realities today. Praise him that you are who he said he are. You are. You can do what he said you can do. You can have what he said you can have. Never again will I say I can't, because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Never again will I say I am the sick, for the Bible says they shall not say that I am sick, but they shall say I am the healed of the Lord. I am the redeemed of the Lord. And the Bible said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say it out loud. Say, I am redeemed. And I'm saying so. Say, I'm an heir of God. A joint heir with Jesus Christ. Everything Jesus paid for is mine right now. In Jesus' name. Now give him a shout all over this house. You believe that's true? Give him a shout. I'm going to tell you something. This revelation, when it came to my spirit, totally changed my life. It may take a little bit for it to sink in and really get into your bones. But once it does, it will change everything about you. Because so many times the devil, and I'm telling you, when we're in the one of these days arena, the devil's like, yeah. Because we can't win in the one of these days, because faith is always now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So I don't know what you may be in need of today. Because we're in this world, but we're not of the world. I understand, I didn't say today that I never get sick. I didn't say today that I never have a need. I didn't say today that I never have an attack on my mind or my peace or my emotion. I never said any of that. What I said is that all the promises of God are in Christ, and Christ is in me. And that makes them mine. That makes them mine. That's what I said. I want you to reach over, take somebody by the hand today, and I want you to pray for that person that they will, that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened. That they would know what the hope of the calling of God in Christ Jesus is. They would know the inheritance that's in them through Jesus Christ. that God will open their eyes and reveal to them everything that belongs to them through Jesus Christ. The eyes of the understanding. Let the eyes of the understanding be enlightened today. Let the eyes of the heart, Lord, be open today, Lord. Lord God, we're destroying ignorance that is killing people and stealing from people and robbing people of their inheritance. Today, Lord, we're kicking ignorance out the door. We have understanding. We have knowledge of truth, Lord. We are armed and dangerous, Lord Jesus. We thank you today, God, that we are your children. That Christ in us is the hope of glory. That everything we've been hoping for is in us, in Christ. And we thank you today, God, for that revelation, for that unveiling, for that truth, Lord. You said you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We praise you for this today, Lord. Lord, let healing be manifested. Wherever healing is needed today, let healing be manifested. Wherever peace is needed today, right now, I decree and declare, let peace be manifested. Wherever joy is needed right now, Lord, let the joy of the Lord be manifested, Lord. Wherever it's needed, Lord, wherever a financial breakthrough is needed, I decree and declare, let it be manifested right now in the name of Jesus. For your glory, God. Go ahead. Give him a shout. Give him a shout. Hallelujah.